This episode of Old TV with a New Twist is dedicated to my uncle, Michel Cassio. He was the patriarch of our family for a very long time, and The Honeymooners was his favorite show. So, Uncle Mike, this is for you. This is your host, Michel, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this month. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 63 of Old TV with a New Twist. Today, I want to welcome back my co-host, my son, Caleb. Welcome, Caleb.
Thank you for having me back.
Glad to have you here. Do you know today is a milestone for you? It is your 10th time at the microphone.
Can't believe it. It's a privilege. It's a privilege and an honor to be here for 10.
Now, today we will be talking about the 1950s classic television show, The Honeymooners. This show was requested by our listener, Pam Geraci. The stats for this show has quite a history, both before this series and after. It only lasted one season, 1955, 39 episodes. They are always referred to as the classic 39.
Yeah, I feel like just me not knowing the whole history, I've heard of the show, I've seen clips of the show before, but never actually like watched an episode. I thought it was like a show that spanned years.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Okay. It originated as a recurring skit on the Jackie Gleason show. Okay. Jackie Gleason was a comedian back in the day. He had a show that ran from 1952 to 1958, 167 episodes. And it was kind of like a variety show. There would be singers that would come on and all this. But in there, they would do these comedy skits called The Honeymooners. So these sketches became so popular that they did a spinoff of a series, which was this series, The Honeymooners. So it is cited as being the first spinoff series. And the Carol Burnett Show was also a variety show that had sketches. And there was a sketch on there with Mama's Family. I don't know if you ever heard of Mama's Family, but that was a spinoff of the Carol Burnett Show. Anyway, the premise is a basic premise. Ralph Cramden is a New York bus driver who always dreams of a better life. With his eccentric good friend, Ed Norton, who's a sewer worker, he constantly tries crazy schemes to strike it rich. All the while, his exasperated wife, Alice, is there to bring him down to earth or pick him up. Easy premise.
Yes.
There's not a lot of complexity here.
No. It's even the sets. It's just very, it's one room. They stay in that room and then they go to one other room and that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So the characters, the actors, obviously the main character is Ralph Cramden, played by Jackie Gleason, who was 39 years old at the time this show aired.
Jeez, it seems older than that. I'm 39. You don't look like me.
No, you look way.
That's a hard 39.
You look way younger.
He must have been in World War II.
He has 43 acting credits. He was probably best known as Sheriff Buford T. Justice in the Smokey and the Bandit movies.
What a name.
Yeah. He also played Minnesota Fats in The Hustler in 1961, which was a pretty popular movie. He sadly died in 1987. Now, the next character is Alice Cramden, who was played by Audrey Meadows. She was 33.
She was pretty.
She has 48 acting credits. I remember her mostly as Iris Martin on the show Too Close for Comfort, which she played that character from 82 to 86. She died in 1996. And then we have Ed Norton, played by Art Carney. He was 37 years old. He has 95 acting credits, way more than any of the other four main characters. He was in the movie Harry and Tonto in 1974, which was a pretty big hit. He played Santa Claus in the 1984 movie The Night They Saved Christmas. Do you remember that at all?
Night They Saved Christmas. It doesn't look familiar.
No, you've seen that movie with me.
I'm sure I did, but God, yeah. It's probably been a very long time. Oh, okay. Hold on. Yeah, I'm starting to see some like screenshots from the actual movie. And yeah, okay. Yeah, it looks familiar.
It was such a good movie. I love that movie. He died in 2003. Trixie Norton, Ed Norton's wife, was played by Joyce Randolph. She was 31 years old.
She didn't have a big part.
No. She has 17 acting credits, so she's no Betty White. Well, her acting is horrendous. Trixie Norton, Joyce Randolph, is the only original cast member still alive today. She is 99 years old.
Okay.
Still going. Okay. Today, we are going to talk about season 1, episode 14, The Man from Space, which aired Saturday, December 31st, 1955. If you were born when this show was on, you are a baby boomer. I'm a baby boomer. If you're born from 1946 to 1964, you're a baby boomer.
I didn't realize it spanned that far.
I looked into that when it said about the baby boomers. So if you were born from 46 to 64, you're a baby boomer. 65 to 1980, you're Generation X. 81 to 96, you are the millennials.
I'm not. I don't agree with that list.
Okay.
I don't think the early 80s kids, I don't think we belong in the millennial category. I think I'm more in the Gen X category for what my thoughts and what I grew up with.
Well, you are on the cusp. You're early in the millennial, so you might pour over.
I think I align my way of thinking and stuff more with the Gen X more than the millennials. Yeah. Way much more.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then 1997 to 2012 is Generation Z. And did you know from 2013 to present, it's Gen Alpha? I just learned this today.
I think all three of those generations are going to be terrible. I think the millennials, no, not the Gen Xers, I think that's going to be our only hope of getting things back right. We're going to have to do well here.
When this show was on in 1955, the president of the United States was Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Jeez.
Yes. Now, do you have any history with the show? Because what I love about plopping you millennials, which you don't like the title,
not a millennial,
into this is that it's a whole different world. I mean, I grew up watching this kind of stuff, but it is just so out of the realm of anything you watched, right? Growing up.
Yeah, it's different. It's very slapsticky, but it had some funny parts. It had some stuff that you'd never see nowadays. Like they had.
Oh yeah. We'll get to that when we come to them. Okay. Point those out when we come to
them. Yeah, there's a couple of them.
Okay.
But is this, Would this show be considered like a groundbreaking type of comedic show? Like, was it new to have like a comedy like that on TV at that time, or no?
It just, to me, it seems it's in a place all its own. Like, it's not, you know, we talk about Ozzie and Harriet and Leave It, all these family shows. It's not like that. It's not a warm, fuzzy family show. I mean, gosh, Wally, Mom and Dad. No.
It's an Archie Bunker like prequel.
Yeah, because Ralph is a miserable, awful person, correct?
Yeah.
Am I the only one who thinks
No, Ralph would be terrible to hang out with.
Right.
Like,
okay.
He'd be like the least fun friend ever. It's like everything you do, he's just constantly either calling you out or trying to be better than you or he's an awful person.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see.
Like, he's joking when he wants to assault his wife.
Because I
like, it's a joke. He's not really going to punch her in the face.
Right. I screened,
or
like,
does he?
Like four or five episodes to pick this one. And he was just awful in all of them. So.
Yeah, well, but in every one, does he always have like that moment at the end where he's like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Just joking. Everything's happy.
His
We're
wife
fun.
Is his soft spot. After he screams and hollers at him. But
screams and yells, but at the end of the day, he loves her.
At the end of the day, she's the one, which we'll talk about at the end. Okay. Let's just go into the episode.
Okay.
And
starts off in a terrible set.
But yes, we're at the sewer on the streets of New York. There's a sewer entrance, and Ralph is in his, he's a bus driver. Ralph Cramden is a bus driver, and he's going to visit his friend Ed Norton, who works in the sewer. So he yells down the sewer, "Ed, come on up." You know, he's carrying his lunchbox, and Ed comes up from the sewer wearing quite a getup. He's got, you know, the goggles and the big face mask and big boots and things hanging around his waist. He's quite the thing. I don't know if sewer workers really have that getup on, but
he did.
Yeah. So Ralph wants Ed Norton to have lunch with him because Norton didn't brung his. I love the way Norton talks. And Norton says, "Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because this isn't Norton's first time at the rodeo. Yeah. You asking me to have lunch, either two things. Alice gave you tuna fish to eat, or you want to ask me to borrow money?"
And he said, "Ham. You want to borrow money." I think he's funny. I think he's the I think he's the good one in the show. Like, he'll make you laugh. His comedy style, his timing, the way he does slapstick, so he's very animated, but he's funny. He's
so funny.
He's funny.
Yeah.
The other guy's shtick gets boring.
Exactly.
It's like, it's just rinse and repeat. Him, he's a little more versatile. Mm-hmm. So I will say that.
Yeah. So anyway, Ralph does want to borrow money. He wants to borrow $10, but he has one of the greatest ideas of his life. And I also want to point out, Caleb, in every episode, Ralph is coming up with a way to make money. He's going to get rich quick. He's going to become, you know, a millionaire. Not in this episode, but it's always a way to make money.
In the 1950s equivalent to $10 would be $126.19 today. Okay. So he's asking him for $100 roughly.
Okay.
So he said, "Hey, can I borrow $100?
But what does he want this $100 for, Caleb? Well, $10.
Well, yeah, but he wants it to make a costume.
No, to buy a costume, not make a costume.
Yes, he wants to buy a costume.
That's the big difference.
Yes.
Because the Raccoon Lodge.
Spoiler alert.
The Raccoon Lodge. You just gave the whole thing away.
That's all right. All right. Podcast is over.
Over. He just gave away the ending. It's like the ending of Where the Crawdad Sings, man. You just gave it all away.
I didn't give anything away.
I know.
He's a costume. He's got to find a costume.
Right.
And why does he need a costume so bad?
Because The Raccoon Lodge, which him and Norton belong to, it's like a men's club. They were big back then, the Raccoon Lodge. They're having a costume ball the following night. And Ralph has an idea because everybody comes in these homemade costumes, throw a sheet over himself and call themselves Julius Caesar.
Right. You
know, he's going to go to a professional costuming house and he's going to buy one. And the other guys won't have a chance. And look, the prize is $50. So he invests 10, he wins 50. That's a $40 profit. You can't lose.
So at the time it's four. So we're just in today's terms. So he's going to make money. He's doing this to make money.
Norton says, "You are a genius, Ralph." You know how he knows Ralph is a genius? How does he know?
Because he had the idea. Because he is already going to do it. He already had a costume.
He yells to his friend down the sewer, "Throw up that package."
Right, which is in the sewer, which I thought was funny. I thought that was a funny thing. Like, the costume's down in the sewer in a box, like in a fancy box.
You know what I thought was weird? Ed crawled out of the sewer in that getup. One of the things he did not have on was gloves. And he immediately bare hands this ham sandwich and eats it. And I'm thinking, even down in a sewer with no gloves?
Right.
I don't know. But anyway, so as soon as Ralph hears this, he's furious. He is furious that Norton stole his idea, which, how could Norton steal his idea? He didn't find it out until just now, and Norton already purchased his costume. So Norton didn't steal his idea. But he says, "You're never going to win, no matter what. And not only did you steal my idea, but you used my $10 that I was going to use."
Right.
Which, it's not his $10. It's Norton's $10. So he's mad. "I'm not your friend anymore. We are deadly enemies," which, wow, Ralph, I wouldn't want to be Ralph's friend.
Right.
He said, "If you see me coming down the street, get on the other side."
And then he said, if If I see you coming down the street,
there ain't no other side.
There ain't no other side. Yeah, that was a funny line.
There's fat jokes all over this puppy. Here's the first one. Is this acceptable now?
No, you cannot fat chain.
All right, we're going to hop to the next scene now, which is takes us to their quite depressing home.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez.
Yeah. It's an apartment in the Bensonhurst section of Brooklyn in New York. Tell us about this apartment, Caleb.
Don't have much in it.
Can you imagine living? It's so depressing.
There's a table, a sink, and a chest of drawers.
Yeah.
That's it.
And a refrigerator that's about 1 foot by 1 foot. Little tiny.
And a bed, and what I assume is a bedroom on the side.
Yeah, but you don't see it. You never see it.
Yeah. So that's it.
And you got a window that's got like a fire escape on. I mean, no pretty
that,
view.
A window that looks into another building, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's quite depressing. Terrible. But this is where they live. So he walks in. His wife, Alice, is setting the table.
I'm assuming that that table is just the focal point of every episode.
That whole, that apartment, that's set right there. That's the focal point.
Yeah.
He tells her he wants $10, explains why, his harebrained scheme about the costume. She says,
no,
no. He says he wants to go as King Henry VIII. And this is the first time you see Ralph do something that is iconic to this show. Bang,
bang,
pow, zoom,
pow,
bang,
zoom,
zoom,
whatever. So he's saying he's going to punch her.
And she's going to say so hard that she's going to fly into space.
Yes, he's going to punch her extremely hard.
Yes, bang, zoom.
Yes.
But it's but that was hilarious back then. Sometimes he'd say, to the moon, Alice, to the, like he was going to punch
right.
her to the moon.
Because,
you know?
Because people, I guess, assaulted their wives more in the 50s. Yeah.
It was acceptable.
It's like, oh, yeah, he's going to punch her.
That's hilarious.
Remember when you punched me? That's funny because we've done that. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it was. But that bang zoom was very, like, everybody thought it was hilarious back then. So she says, I'm not going to give you $10 for the costume. Why don't you show some originality, some ingenuity? Why don't you use your own brain? And he said, because I want to win. Yeah. Which I thought was funny.
Well, he also asked her for $5. He said, okay, $5.
Case closed. No, she's not giving it to him. Because she says they need to get ready for dinner because Ed and Trixie Norton are coming for dinner.
Yes.
And
he's not happy about that.
He's an awful person. Like Caleb.
He didn't do anything to him.
Is this a reason to never speak to this person again and think they're so awful and yell and scream at him? I mean, what? It's a, you know, it's like, God, Ralph is terrible. Okay. In comes Norton. He's in his costume that he purchased, which is very elaborate. Yeah. It's a very elaborate costume. And the first thing I thought of, I just think of goofy stuff like this, is that that costume could never have fit in that box that the guy threw up out the sewer.
Oh, maybe he only had part of the costume. Maybe it was just the last piece of his costume coming in.
Yeah, he's got like a big wig and a hat and mm-hmm. like the big, big, what would you call that? Like maybe like a revolutionary kind of
yeah,
coat.
Yeah, looked like, yeah, like a big, like a officer's coat.
Yeah,
the Revolutionary War.
Yeah,
like
with all the big buttons and the coats and the knickers and the boots. I'm like, nah, that low. That was a little bitty package. But anyway, I think of goofy stuff like that. But he is dressed as Pierre-François Delabriowski.
Yeah. Well, at the time, the supposed inventor of the French sewers.
Yes, who is Norton's hero.
It's his hero. It's his lifelong hero.
Yeah, he invented sewers.
Right.
In Paris, yeah. Okay. Ralph, as expected, is just not happy with this costume because it's pretty
good-looking costume.
Mm-hmm. He says, any dope with $10 could rent a costume. Anyway, Norton responded in French. I thought this whole thing with Norton responding in French was funny. Norton is funny.
He's funny.
He, to me, is funnier than Jackie Gleason. Art Carney in this show is funnier than the Jackie Gleason
Well,
character.
As we talked about earlier, he's not he's not one-dimensional. Like, I feel like he's just funny. He's got that, the way he does comedy is it's a lot of different things. He's slapstick, he's big, he's got a lot, like, he
yeah.
moves movements, everything. He's a diverse character, unlike just I'm the angry guy.
One-note character.
It's just the
yeah.
angry guy.
Yeah.
Just angry about everything until I make a little smile at the end.
Yeah, you're right. But yet this is the first episode you've seen all the way through, correct? But you got his number.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. But a lot of these shows, I mean, with the 9 other ones I've done now, you can, off one episode, you can see everybody's place in the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, right. there haven't been there are shows that characters develop, but I see with most of these older shows, and especially comedies in particular, their shtick is their shtick for the show. You don't see a whole lot of transformation of characters ever in comedy shows, which is interesting.
You're right.
They just, if it's a show, especially a popular show, what works, works, and they stick with it forever until it runs out. And that's, I mean, I guess that's the formula for success. Why change it if it's working?
That's why 40 years later, we're still talking about these shows on a podcast, because they were successful. They knew what to
But what was to it do. Successful? If it only had 39 episodes?
The network wanted him to continue, but he said, we're already fishing for new ideas. He would rather end it with 39 great episodes than try and go on and have them be half rate and not as good.
And how long can you carry that?
Yeah. And 39 episodes is a lot. Seasons nowadays are barely 20.
That's
a lot. We're going to take a short break and then we'll be right back. I just want to take this moment to announce that if you're not a member of our Facebook group, please go join. It's called Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And in that group, you can find out what's coming up next, find links to watch the episodes of the classic TV shows before we drop the podcast, and you can give us some feedback. Let us know what shows you'd like to see us do. So please look for us on Facebook, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And we're back, and we hope that you are all already members of our Facebook group. And now on with our recap of the episode.
And then he keeps doing that snuff, which I thought was weird. Was that common in the 50s? Well, was that something? No.
See, no. So Norton uses this snuff. It's something you like put up your nose, because he was dressed like from the 1700s. This was something from back then they used. I looked it up too.
It was tobacco.
Yeah, it was in 1561. The French ambassador described tobacco's medicinal properties, and he is credited with introducing grinding up tobacco leaves to make this snuff. And you would inhale it up your nose, and it would help people with headaches.
Probably had cocaine in it.
Well, I'm just... And thus began the whole opioid crisis.
All right,
yeah. In 1561.
All right.
But I think it was also like a precursor to smoking. It was probably the first vice that people had.
Well, people smoked in the 40s and was 50s.
You're talking about back to the 1500s.
I'm assuming people smoked then too. You got to figure.
Possibly. I don't know when smoking began, but that's what that snuff is. So Ralph decides, because he's really mad at this, compared to the costumes they're wearing later, and it's way better.
Right.
But he's like, I'm going to make my own costume, and it's going to be an original costume, and it's going to win. So it's on. So he's going to start working on his costume, and he's walking in and out, and he's like taking parts off the refrigerator.
Right. He's taking knobs off drawers and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. My favorite exchange is when he comes in to take the knobs off the chest of drawers, and Alice says, what if I need something that's in that drawer? And he says, there's nothing in this drawer that you're going to need that can't wait till tomorrow. Then he comes back in and says, where's the flashlight? And Alice says, it's in with the things that can wait until tomorrow. So I loved that line. That was my laugh out loud moment. But he's picking up furniture, the kitchen chair, carrying it in the room. He's making a costume that he says will make a fool out of Norton. Okay. So next day, we're on the day of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph's in the bedroom getting ready.
Yep.
Alice can't get in there to wash her face. And he goes, just wash your face by the sink. And she said, I can't. You're using the faucet for your costume.
Right.
So he comes walking out. Caleb, tell me all about his costume.
You think he's a robot, I guess, is your initial thought. He's got the front of the refrigerator as like a chess piece. And he's got stuff glued or affixed to it some kind of way. He's got like the faucet on it. He's got the knobs on it. He's got the pot on his head.
Yeah. It looks like he's got a shower curtain wrapped around him, maybe.
Something holding. Or they said, I think it was the cord for like holding the blinds or something. Like he had that wrapped around him.
Yeah. Looks pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's the man from space.
Yes.
Alice said she thinks he's nuts. During this scene, a piece of his costume falls off.
And I think that part was slightly ad-libbed, because the way they react, you could tell they got out of character for a second, but kept it going.
Well, in Mom's Useless Trivia, what I was going to tell you is when Ralph shows Alice his costume, a piece of it accidentally falls off. This was not scripted.
I didn't think I picked that up when it happened.
They completely ad-libbed. Jackie Gleason covers up for it by saying, give me that. That's my denaturizer.
See, and I thought, and that is one thing I was like, that was quick. Like that was good. That was because to ad-lib it and then to add that little bit to it, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it was good. But she says she didn't recognize him as the man from space. And he says, well, that's because you don't keep up with the latest developments. And she said, who do you think takes your pants out every week?
Yeah.
Another fat joke.
Fat joke.
He doesn't care. He said, look, I don't care if you don't recognize me as the man from space. This is not about the $50. I want to teach Norton a lesson.
Right. Terrible, terrible person.
Terrible person.
He didn't
do
anything.
In walks Norton. And he thinks Ralph is dressed as a Sherman tank.
I think Ralph has some personality disorder issues. Like,
and he's really proud of this costume. He thinks it's great.
Yeah.
Ralph says to Norton, how do you like my costume? And Norton said, frankly, I liked it better when it was furniture.
See, he's got good. He does have good lines.
Great comedic timing.
Good delivery, everything. He's good. I like him.
Let me just ask you this, because Alice also tells him, look, the judges aren't going to even know that you're a man from space. Nobody's going to recognize you as a man from space. It just doesn't look like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a big laugh when he walks out wearing this getup.
Obnoxious laugh.
Yes. Does that scene look familiar to you at all? Do you remember seeing it somewhere else? This is a little bit of trivia that I'm going to slip in right here because it's so interesting.
I'm assuming that scene was playing on a TV in a movie or show when something happened.
Yes.
Somebody was watching it. It feels familiar, but I can't put my finger on it.
You're going to kick yourself.
Go ahead, because I know it. I know. I'm going to know it when you say it.
In Back to the Future, they're sitting around the dinner table and they have it on.
And they have it on. Okay.
And Marty McFly says, oh, I recognize this. It's a rerun.
Rerun.
And
yep.
The guy says, what's a rerun?
What's a rerun? This is live.
Like, yeah.
This
is, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yep. It's brand new.
Okay. No.
That right. is the scene.
Okay.
Him and the man from space. But what's interesting is we all know Marty McFly traveled to the past on November 5th, 1955.
Yes.
On that day, this episode was not airing. This episode aired on December 31st, 1955. The episode that was airing this day was the one called The Sleepwalker. So there you go. There's a little bit of trivia there.
Well, yeah. They didn't have Google to make it easy for them back then. They probably just said, it's about the same time.
Yeah.
They didn't think any nerds would be looking.
But you remember it now, right?
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So out comes Alice. I got an issue with Alice here.
Well, when she's all dolled up.
She's dressed up like a 12-year-old girl going on 12 and a half. And she's wearing this little suit with this little dress with lots of flounces and a big bow in her hair. And it's short. And Ralph doesn't like that her knees are showing.
But everybody's going to be looking at your knees, he said.
Yeah. So she said, I'll walk in backwards.
Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah. But okay. Hers is obviously a store-bought costume. Would you agree?
Yeah.
She wouldn't give him $5. Nah, she don't work. He's making all the money. She refused to give him money for a costume. This isn't like it's kind of a harebrained scheme, but it's really not. It's to buy a costume. She went and bought a costume. Ed went and bought a costume. She refused to give him money for a costume. And I got a little issue.
Who's to say she bought it?
Well, Caleb, it looked like a store-bought costume.
Who's to say she didn't borrow it?
I guess she could have. I don't know, but that's what I
thought.
There's
a lot of friends probably in their little apartment complex. Who's to say somebody didn't have a costume? I've borrowed costumes from people for parties, so I don't think you can put all the blame on her. Poor thing.
All right.
She already got an abusive husband.
and
a terrible home life. If she wants to borrow a costume, let her borrow a costume.
Poor woman, give her a nice costume. She's
give
got
her a costume.
Pitiful life. Yeah. Lord. Okay. In comes Ed's wife, Trixie, in a really sexy costume. Remember what Trixie was dressed as?
No, she was dressed as a, I can't remember.
A sailor.
Yeah. She was dressed as a soldier or whatever.
So in comes Ed's wife, Trixie, worst actress I've ever seen. She's got bad news.
Yes. He has to go to work.
Yes. His foreman called. There's a sewer emergency somewhere.
He's got to go or he's fired.
Yep. Got to go. So.
You can't go to the thing.
Can't go to
can't
the ball.
Go to the lodge.
Ralph looks a little happy.
He's like, ah.
He's like, I got this in a bag. I got this in a bag. I'm going to win. So now we are at the very big, fancy costume ball at the Raccoon Lodge with all 10 attendees.
At the most.
10 people.
At the most.
And they're all dancing. And Ralph's dancing was kind of funny, do you think?
Yeah, it was funny.
The way he was. Yeah. Now, funny dancing is a TV trope. Case in point, Elaine Bennis on Seinfeld.
Right.
Her dancing, everybody knows, correct?
Right. Well, anybody who watches the show.
The Carlton dance on Fresh Prince.
Right. So he always dances the same type of way.
Yeah, that's kind of his way of dancing. And it's funny. It's funny. Mm-hmm. So the other costumes that I could pick out, I saw a guy like dressed like a golfer, like an old time golfer with the knickers, like a Hawaiian lady with a Hawaiian skirt, a farmer, the guy with the sheet, like a toga.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he was Julius Caesar.
Yeah, because they had made a reference to that before. Yeah. So that's probably
somebody kind of like Al Capone with like a hat and a suit. I don't know. I don't know what they were.
None of them were really anything crazy.
Nothing crazy. And then of course there was
there was robot / outer spaceman.
Yeah, whatever. Well, it was we can talk about what they think he is. Right. So now it's time to pick the winner. It is narrowed down to the final two.
The guy dressed in with a golf club, essentially.
Well, is dressed as a playboy of the roaring 20s.
Yes, that's what, yeah.
Which I would have never thought.
It was a goofy costume.
And then the other guy that's in the final two is Ralph Cramden for his costume dressed up as a...
Oh, shoot. I don't even remember. What was it?
Pinball machine.
Pinball machine. That was it. I couldn't remember. For his rendition of a human pinball machine. That was it. I couldn't even remember what it was.
A pinball machine. Ralph looks a little kind of mad, but yet...
But
hey,
not going to say anything. Like, all right, I'll go with it. I'm in the top two. I still might win.
Mm-hmm. And still, when you're looking at his face, this guy thinks he's going to win. This guy thinks this is a great costume. He looks utterly ridiculous. Ralph Cramden, we're saying is a terrible... He's a terrible friend, terrible person. He's also delusional here. He's very delusional.
He's got mental issues.
I think you got it. But it's time to announce a winner, Caleb. The winner is...
And then somebody barges in. Who could it be?
Who comes barging in the door?
It's a good old buddy.
Ed Norton. But he's not just... He comes in his sewer getup.
He's got his gas mask on and everything.
Everything. He ran in straight from work. And all he's worried about is, did I miss the food?
And he said, you're just in time to win the competition or whatever.
Right?
And he wins first place.
But
the kicker,
they say, and you win
as
$50 as the man from space.
Yeah, because he had the mask on and all.
Ralph does look like he may hit him here. He's mad.
Yeah, but he's only mad for a second.
But what calms him down,
his wife.
Yes, she goes over and like, come dance with me, and he softens up, and then you get the impression everything's going to be fine.
Everything's fine. Dun, 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 the end. Like, that's just classic TV right there.
Yeah.
Everything's a big deal and everything's fine. When nothing really happens to change it. It's just...
Now, I'm going to start asking this question because this is old TV with a new twist. Would you say that this is a conspicuously old-fashioned show?
Yeah. It's cheesy. It's not like really... There's no real point to it.
Yeah.
Other than just some... cheap laughs, really. I mean, if you think about it, there's no story, really. There's just a couple cheap laughs in the 20-minute span that it's on, and that's it.
It's not just cheap laughs. This show is considered a classic. Okay, let's wrap this up. The IMDb rating for this show is an 8.7 out of 10. What would you rate this show?
I'm going to rate it a 6.7.
That's kind of low.
It's not something I'd want to sit down and watch multiple episodes of.
Okay.
So yeah, I wouldn't watch it again.
I said yours was low with a 6.7, but I gave it a 7. So
it's not a 7 because a 7 I'd watch again. That's why I was like, it was funny. I didn't hate watching it. Most of the shows I've watched on here, I've actually been in pain watching. This one I wasn't in pain watching.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Partridge Family Christmas, I could not wait for it to end. Like, I remember being like, God, there's 10 minutes left and I'm hurting. My brain's hurting watching this. So, yeah, 6.7. Okay, I stand by it.
Okay. But who's your favorite character and why? I think I know what this is, and it's probably the same as mine. Go.
Ed Norton. Just because he's the only one that's not extremely one-dimensional. Yes, he's the goofy guy, but also he's just, he's got, he comes at it from a lot of different angles. I just think he's the best to watch.
I love his mannerisms. I love his sweetness. He's a much better friend to Ralph than Ralph is to him. So I really like Ed Norton. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to give you some trivia about this show. A scene in the original script for this episode revealed that the work emergency phone call for Norton was actually a ruse set up by Ralph to keep him from attending the party.
Oh, okay.
So that he'd miss the party and then get there. And I'm saying, what are you talking about?
That's almost too
mean. So, but they wrote it out. I don't know why, but they wrote it out. But it would track.
It would track, but also, like, you got to have the main character be able to be somewhat endearing. Like, they did do times where he was somewhat endearing. If that's just complete dirtbag.
He's always endearing at the end with Alice. Now, the four main characters for this show later became the prototypes for the four main characters in The Flintstones, which debuted in 1960.
Okay.
Now, Jackie Gleason was considering suing Hanna-Barbera, who produced the Flintstones cartoons, as the similarities between the characters of both shows were undeniable. He felt the Flintstones creators had stolen his creative property, and he wanted either fair compensation or for the cartoon show's producers to cease making the show. He changed his mind when Gleason's attorney gave him this argument. Do you really want to be remembered by history as the man who killed Fred Flintstone? Because by that time, the Flintstones were a runaway hit. The Flintstones are part of pop culture. And Dad and I were talking about this when we were watching it, and I was telling him this little bit of trivia, and I said, do you know, Fred Flintstone is not a real person. You know, it's like Fred Flintstone. He really does not exist. But to us, it feels like these are real people.
Yep.
Okay, so back on to the trivia.
Yes.
Audrey Meadows, who played Alice, was the only cast member to receive residual payments for the show for her entire life. This was the result of her shrewd manager, who predicted the prospect of a rerun even in the early stages of television before that precedent was set. It is an interesting bit of history because it is now standard
that
for all television
genius.
Work. So. But for that day and age, that was, and they probably were like, yeah, sure, promise of that. Nobody's ever going to see this again, you know, and then boom. This show was voted number 3 in TV Guide's 50 greatest TV shows of all time.
All right,
now, this list was probably made back in the 70s. I don't know what, this is just an IMDb
well, one
trivia.
And two.
I don't know.
I mean,
I shouldn't have said that because I didn't do my homework on that.
Yeah, and you don't know when that list was made.
At some point in time.
At some point in time, it was the third
best
show.
It was number 3.
At some point in time, it was the third best. And at some point in time, I was the newest human on this planet. Like, you know?
You're so funny. The apartment building's address where they lived was 328 Chauncey Street in Brooklyn, New York. This was Jackie Gleason's childhood address, and the apartment he grew up in served as a model for the apartment in this set. Is that sad or what?
No.
Oof. The characters lived in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, although his address was actually in Bushwick. Now, every instance of the series, and as I said, this is an ongoing thing, where Ralph said, bang, zoom.
Right.
Every time he did it, it was improvised. It was never written into a script.
Okay, so he'd just feel it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He'd
just feel like assaulting somebody.
Yeah. His wife.
His wife.
Yeah. Jackie Gleason did not like to rehearse, which drove the other actors crazy, so they always rehearsed without him. He usually would be at a bar drinking, and he admitted that at this time, this stage in his life, he was a very heavy drinker. So, and the last bit of trivia, I like to save the most interesting for last. This show was shot live, filmed before an audience, but then it was edited to be shown later. And if you ever noticed Jackie Gleason patting himself on the stomach, that was his signal that he had forgotten his line.
Huh.
There you
okay.
go.
Hey, that's a good one.
Yeah. Now, I'm gonna give you the life of the Honeymooners, okay? The span. Now, this goes back. We're going to go backwards, and then we're going to go forward. Okay.
That's Jackie, the only way to do it. Thank you for that obvious direction. Let's start in the middle, go forwards, then backwards.
Okay. We're going to start at the very beginning.
As most stories start.
So the CBS's Jackie Gleason show would then run from 1952 to 1957. That was his variety show. And that's where he first did these Honeymooners skits.
Okay.
They were so popular, they said, let's do a show on these characters. So from 1955 to 1956, the Honeymooners aired as a show. 39 episodes, now known as the Classic 39. Then when that was over, they offered him another season. Remember, I told you, he said, no, don't want to do it. So that was it. But then CBS brought the Jackie Gleason show back to television from 1966 to 1971.
Jesus. Well, this was a break.
So the Jackie Gleason show, once again, was like a variety show. I remember it. It was broadcast from Miami Beach. When it started, the camera was panning across the ocean to Miami Beach. I remember this show. I was very young. Like 6, 7, 8 years old, but I remember it.
So Jackie Gleason retired, went down to Miami, was hanging out, and they're like, hey, you want to do a show? He's like, I'll do it right here.
He did the Jackie Gleason show, and the most popular skit on the show was the Honeymooners. And it was the first time the Honeymooners was done in color. They did the
same
skits
actors?
In color. No. Same Ed and Ralph, but Audrey Meadows was played by Sheila McRae.
Oh, Sheila. Okay.
Yeah. Sheila McRae. Yeah, you know Sheila.
Sheila McRae, yeah.
Yeah. Her daughter, Meredith McRae, went on to play Billy Joe Bradley on Petticoat Junction. So there's that.
Is Ed Norton related to Ed Norton?
No.
Okay.
Edward, no, he's not. And then Joyce Randolph did not play Trixie. She was played by Jane Keane.
That's a shame.
Okay. So, and then, so this went on through 71, where it was just a variety show, but they did those skits on the show.
Okay.
But they took all of those skits, all of the Honeymooner sketches, packaged them together and broadcast them on CBS during the summer of 1971. When that show went off the air, they just did a whole show of just Honeymooner skits. Okay, so that was 71. Then in 1973, the Jackie Gleason special on TV and included skits of the Honeymooners.
He's going to stick with his hit.
Then there were 4 Honeymoon specials that aired on ABC between 1976 and 1978. They were all in color. And 1976 was the Cramdons' 25th wedding anniversary. 1977 was the Honeymooners' Christmas special. And 1978 had the Honeymooners' Valentine's Day special. And then in 1978, they also did another Christmas special. Then in 1989, direct to VHS, I think it came on TV once, then it went to VHS, was a show called Honey Bloopers, which is like a 45-minute show of all the bloopers that they took out of the Honeymooners' original Classic 39. I bet that was funny.
I bet that was funny, yeah.
Yeah. Then, last but not least, in 2005, the Honeymooners, a motion picture, was remade with an African-American cast starring Cedric the Entertainer as Ralph Cramden.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that.
It was widely panned by the critics upon its release.
Yeah, well,
which
it's hard to
remake a classic. It's hard.
Especially because the one that we talked about in this edit, it doesn't translate super well to today. Like the bam.
Yeah, bang, boom, zoom.
Bang, zoom.
Humor changes, and that's like, just not funny. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So is there anything else you want to say about this show? Do you feel you got another turkey, or were you okay with this one?
I was okay. Like I said, I was okay with this one. I didn't think it was bad. I don't think it's something that's overly entertaining, but I can see that in its day, it was probably beloved to a certain extent. I can see it.
It's still beloved to a certain extent to a lot of us baby boomers. Okay. Before we finish up, there's one other thing we need to talk about that I've noticed throughout this podcast.
Okay.
When this show was on, well, it's known for the bang, zoom to the moon, Alice. Mm-hmm. However,
domestic violence, right.
Well, there you go. I've noticed that your reaction to it has not been of a you think it's funny nature at all.
What are you saying?
What I'm trying to do is look at the difference in the generations. Here's the thing, Caleb. The entire time growing up watching these reruns, no one ever thought, oh, he's beating his wife. Oh, domestic violence. And well, I'm just saying it's a difference in the times. That's what I want to discuss.
But the funny thing about it is I personally still find that, like, that type of humor, like, I find that funny. Because, yeah, he's joking. He's not saying he's really going to hit her. But what my reaction to it is more the reaction of how culture has changed. And I agree with you that culture has changed in a way that it's not acceptable funny. What's acceptable funny has drastically changed, because comedy as a whole has changed, because you have to be so careful, and that's so not what comedy is supposed to be about. Comedy is supposed to be edgy. Most of the time, comedy is offensive to someone.
So, but not anymore.
Yeah, it's difficult to be a comedian now, because right. You can't offend anybody.
Right. I just thought it fascinating that every time we discussed that, that's where you went to domestic violence, or, oh, he's going to beat up his wife, and that never ever crossed our minds. And I just found that fascinating. It demonstrates the difference in the times and how everything is so how it's got to be right now. It's like, yeah, no, he's not beating his wife. It's a comedy show, for heaven's sake, you know?
Yeah, but hold on. What, I mean, you got to think of the times, okay? What year did the show air?
This was 55.
Okay, 1955. So most of the people that were like in the age group in that time were World War II veterans. Like, it was a very different time, like post-war. Was there more domestic abuse then than there was now? Was there less? Was it more accepted? Like, if he got home and dinner wasn't made and he smacked his wife, was it more accepted then than it is now? I don't know.
Well, I don't have any statistics on hand for that. It's never acceptable to me, ever. No. And certainly it was never portrayed on any shows or portrayed as being acceptable. So I don't know. But we do know, and we can't agree, this was an entirely different world than the one we live in now.
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely. the comedy was terrible in that time, too.
You think? But like we say, that was a classic back then. That was the Seinfeld of the day.
It was.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to find out.
Yes. No, and it is, I mean, when watching it, you're like, man, it just doesn't. A lot of these old shows, I find that the humor just doesn't translate like it used
to. Sure.
It doesn't hold up. Not a lot of humor holds up over time. There are still some things that are just always going to be like chuckle funny, but at the same time, like, it's just not as hard hitting as it once was. Pun intended.
Sure. I agree. Hey, nobody hit anybody. Okay, let's get that straight. There was no hitting in this episode. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Caleb. I appreciate you recording this podcast. I hope you'll be back again. I'm not going to say too soon, because I like to give y'all several months in between your appearances.
All right.
Well, we'll talk to you soon. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Say bye, Caleb.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.